Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Today, Sunday morning, as we continue in the Nick Kale Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. We're with you for just about another hour. We'll take you up until 11 o'clock today. Carl Dukes, Randy McMichael coming up. They'll lead you into Atlanta United and New England Revolution. Braves today, 11:35 first pitch on Peacock, as they get their rubber match with the Padres. Really getting to the point now, coming off of a nice win last night, where you just have to imagine, even if this will not be a great year for the Braves, eventually you go on a little bit of a run, right? Like you rip off 3 in a row, 4 of 5, 7 of 10, still 2 weeks away from Memorial Day. So no reason to panic, but, you know, they've been really essentially stuck in neutral all season long. And you look at the standings, the Mets sitting there at 23-12. Phillies are 5.5 back at 500. They're 17-17. Braves are 16-18, 6.5 back of the Mets. The Marlins 15-18. They're a half game behind us and 7 back of the Mets, while the Nationals in the basement at 12-23. So we'll see if the Braves can win a series against a really good San Diego team today before they continue on and get past the Padres. One thing I do want to get to, we did a lot yesterday on the Falcons schedule release from Thursday night. We talked about that in a variety of ways. I was just watching on CBS Sports HQ, our guy Brian McFadden, BMAC, who pops on a lot with Dukes and Bell, and he was being asked by whoever the host of the show was, you know, the biggest winner and the biggest loser of the NFL schedule release this year for 2022, and his two winners were the Vikings and the Eagles, while his two losers were the Raiders and the Falcons. And this kind of goes back to what I had said yesterday. In summary, I didn't understand the, oh my God, doom and gloom negative reaction to the schedule release on Thursday night from Falcons fans on Falcon Twitter. And the reason I didn't understand it was because we already knew who was going to be on our schedule. We just didn't know where exactly the games would be slotted. And Brian McFadden thinks that the Falcons were one of the two biggest losers. And he says, and you thought the roster was going to doom them. Buckle your seatbelts. They have a brutal opening stretch against the Saints, at the Rams, at the Seahawks, versus the Browns, at the Bucks, versus the 49ers, at the Bengals. It's not unthinkable that they could be 1-6 or even 0-7 halfway through Arthur Smith's second season. On top of that, they don't get a bye week until week 14. Whether it's Marcus Mariota or Desmond Ridder under center, it doesn't get easier at the end either. The last four, at the Saints, at the Ravens, versus the Cardinals, versus the Bucks. The saving grace might be if Baltimore and Tampa Bay are resting starters. Even then, yikes. Okay, I mean, I get it. But let's go back and revisit this. All right? So you're going to get the Saints at home. You get a division rival, opening weekend. That's a winnable game. Falcons are an underdog at home in that game. I get it. New Orleans, the better team. But I'm sorry. When you're going against a team led by Jameis Winston, you always have a shot. At the Rams, I trust me, I get that. That's going to be a tough spot. But at Seattle, Seattle is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFC this year. Drew Lock at quarterback. Like, let's not just see the word Seattle and think they're still good. You know, it's just like you look at the back of the jersey, you look at the name, and then you realize the name is no longer what he used to be. He's a shell of himself. Like, this isn't 2013, 2016, 2019 Seattle. I mean, the Russell Wilson era is over. You look at the Browns. I get it. Browns are a really good team. Really good on both sides of the line of scrimmage. But what's their quarterback status? So if you want to look at from a positive vantage point, the first four weeks, you're going to play Jameis Winston, Drew Lock, and I don't know who the quarterback will be for the Browns. And then the next four, the Bucs, again, a lot like the Rams on the road. I understand. Tough spot, probably a loss. Then you have the 49ers. Again, a lot like the Browns. Who's the quarterback? Is it Lance? Is it Garoppolo? The Bengals on the road, again, I get it. And then you enter a really manageable stretch of the schedule. Panthers at home, winnable. Chargers, we know what the Chargers do. Every year the Chargers are talented. Every year they don't achieve. Then you go on the road again to the Panthers on a short week, quick turnaround, because you're going to play the Chargers on a Sunday, and then you go to Carolina on Thursday night. But still, it's Sam Darnold. You get Sam Darnold twice in 3 weeks. I'd be licking my lips if I got Sam Darnold twice in 3 weeks. And then you get the Bears and the Commanders. Justin Fields. Carson Wentz. Followed by Pittsburgh. Again, oh my God, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers with no offensive line and rookie Kenny Pickett. It's not the Pittsburgh Steelers of 2018 with Antonio Brown and Juju and Big Ben in his prime and James Harrison. Different Pittsburgh team. And I get it, coming down the stretch, the final four are also going to be difficult. But as Bryant McFadden alluded to, maybe some of these teams are resting starters if they have things already clinched or locked up. Now, I don't think Baltimore is going to have anything clinched or locked up, because Baltimore is in arguably the best division in football. I mean, you're going to be in that same division with Cleveland and Cincinnati and even Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, regardless of record, is always a slugfest. So I don't think Baltimore is going to have anything locked up. But the final two games, the Arizona Cardinals and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Arizona, yeah, oh, wow, they're juicy, right? Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're fun to watch. Nuke Hopkins, yeah, they start off like 7-1, and then they limp to the finish line. They are the ultimate front-running team. It's nice weather early on, controlled climate in that little dome-type situation they have in Arizona, and then they play some outdoor games, and then you have to be able to run the ball, and you got to be able to pound the rock and, you know, churn some clock and make some stops on defense. And then all of a sudden, Arizona, I'll tell you, if Arizona starts off gangbusters again and then limps to 10-7, Cliff Kingsbury's getting fired. No doubt about it. And Kyler Murray's been a little fluky lately. Or not fluky, flaky. You know, he scrubs his Instagram. He removes all acknowledgement of his employer on his Twitter feed. I love me some Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's been a little soft lately. And then, of course, the Bucs could easily have the division wrapped up. The Bucs might have the division wrapped up by Christmas. I mean, heck, mathematically, it might start looking pretty bleak by Thanksgiving, because Tampa Bay's just going to run roughshod over this division with Tom Brady coming back out of retirement. Now, this division would be completely different if Brady would have stayed retired. Brady lasted 40 days in retirement, says, you know what, I can't stand being at home. I'm going to unretire. I'm going to play. We're going to change head coaches. And, oh, by the way, I'm going to set myself up for a monster TV contract with Fox to be their lead analyst when I do retire. Tom Brady must really hate home life. He's like, you know, I'm old by NFL standards, but I'm 45. I mean, how many mornings can I make Giselle eggs? There's only so much laundry to do in the house. I'm getting out of here. So I think the reaction to the Falcons' schedule is a little overblown from the standpoint of, guys, we knew who we were going to play. We knew what our roster looked like. Yeah, the over-under win total from the experts in Vegas is 4.5. It's going to be tough. But as I said yesterday, I still think that this team could go from 7-10 to 6-11 or 7-10 to 5-12 in year two with Arthur Smith and still be a better team than they were a year ago. And I know that kind of runs counter to, well, you are what your record says you are, and this is a wins and losses league. I get that. I do. But, you know, you look at some of these metrics these days, and it's like the Falcons weren't as good as their record indicated last year. This year, they could be better than their record indicates. It just might not show up in the win column, because the schedule and the teams we are playing is brutal. 404-741-0929, the number. Let's get a couple of calls in here. Torrey McElhaney in about 10 minutes from AtlantaFalcons.com. Nasir is in Loganville, wants to talk a little hoops. Nasir, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, man? How's everything?
Everything's good, bro. Thank you.
All right. Long-time listener to 92.9. Game, not really get to respond too much just because of how my days go. All right, you got to be a little bit realistic. You do understand. I just found out that O'Boy had said the same thing, that LeBron led the NBA in scoring. And this may be only the second time, that he didn't make it to the playoffs. You can't expect him every year to just drag a team into the playoffs, which he's done majority of his career. So, I mean, I think you're being a little bit unrealistic about that list. And the thing about the Falcons and their football team is it's going to be hard for them to advance until they learn how to build a foundation. Every year you watch the Falcons get a new wide receiver, a new running back, a new fancy player. A football team is nothing without the foundation. If you don't have a good O-line and D-line, you're not going nowhere.
Totally agree. Let me ask you this, though, Nasir. Right now, if you're building your NBA franchise – Jokic, Embiid, Giannis, Tatum, Ja, Luka, Trey, Booker. Are you taking LeBron over those guys right now?
Would I take LeBron over those guys right now?
Yeah.
If I'm building my franchise? You know what's funny? Honestly, I would probably say yes, because after you finish playing, I know I got a coach with some skills if I can get him to coach the next year. Because I know he's good at what he does. He's not just a basketball player. And that's the problem. People just see him as a basketball player. He envisions a lot of stuff. He helps develop players. He made the players – think about it. As a rookie, as a second season, he dragged a whole team of nobodies to the playoffs every year. Think about that.
Yeah. He led the league in scoring
this
year, too.
So he made everybody on that team better.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we – that's what we forget. Like, people try to compare him to Jordan, and you can't.
No, he's
Jordan
not.
Jordan went to college and played under Dean Smith toothless.
Yep.
Jordan learned a lot under Dean Smith.
I'm with you.
LeBron went to my school.
Yeah, Nasir, I got to go, but I appreciate the call. But I'm with you on the way he develops players and makes other players around him better. I would also, the counter to that is LeBron, the general manager, the guy that tries to recruit players and put together teams, since the Bosh and Wade thing, has failed. Look at what he tried to build in L.A. with Carmelo and Russell Westbrook, and you know I get it. One title with AD in the bubble, and I agree with you. He definitely brings out the best of some players, but I think the way he goes about trying to recruit guys, because I think there are some guys that don't want to play with him, to be honest. We got Mel on the line. All right, we'll see if we'll get Mel after Torrey. Hang tight, Mel. You're saying I'm giving Tom Brady too much love. Yeah, you're right. He only led the league in yards and touchdowns last year at 57 years old, but I'm giving him too much love. All right, Torrey McElhaney, AtlantaFalcons.com. She's next. Stay there. Thank you. 10:20 here on this Sunday morning. Welcome back in to Kale Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. We're with you for about another 40 minutes. Randy McMichael, Carl Dukes coming up at 11 o'clock today. As we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, welcome in Tory McElhaney, AtlantaFalcons.com. Tory, it's been a minute or two. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We appreciate the time. So I wanted to get your thoughts, first of all, and we can get into the schedule and some things like that. But about an hour ago, we were having a conversation about all the newcomers on this team, both on the offensive side of the ball and defensively. And there's a lot of newcomers on offense and certainly a handful of new guys on defense as well. I'm just curious from your vantage point, what is the easier way to acclimate new faces? Is it defensively or is it offensively when it comes to the challenges of all these new personnel?
Oh man, that's a good question. I mean, I tend to think that both are going to be difficult. Like I feel like I couldn't pick one or the other. I think when it comes to acclimation for these players specifically, it's all about getting them, I guess, conditioned before the season starts, because when I look at the schedule, it's hard, it's difficult right off the bat, and you know so many of these rookies are going to be playing a lot of live reps early. That's just how this roster is constructed. It is going to be vital that they can get these rookies ready to go out and play as quickly as possible, because I do believe when I'm looking at, you know, if you're looking at a potential 53-man roster, which we're a little ways away from having to decide that, but if you're looking at that, you know how many of these first-year and second-year guys are going to play. That is super important when you think about where this organization is and how, when you talk about acclimation, making sure that they are acclimated, because if you look at the schedule, they're going to play an entire college season plus a bowl game before they ever get a bye week. So making sure that these guys are acclimated, they understand the scheme, they understand kind of the how to be a pro and how to take care of their bodies, because they're going to go through the gauntlet. I think they're already kind of going through the mental gauntlet. That was something that we talked to Arthur Smith about yesterday. He was like, you know, we've seen what they can do physically. We have it on tape. Now we want to see what they can do mentally, how they translate what we're giving them in these meetings out onto the field. So I think that's where they are in terms of the acclimation period right now.
When we saw the schedule get, you know, on come out Thursday night and then all the pieces of the puzzle get slotted in accordingly, it feels like the first 6 weeks really tough. The final 4 weeks certainly on paper look tough, although maybe some teams have things locked up at that point for divisional seedings and playoff and home field and things like that. But if it feels like there's a spot where the Falcons can take advantage, it's that middle portion of the schedule. What do you think we can do in that stretch with Carolina twice, Chicago, Washington, and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think, you know, that if you look at the schedule, that to me is the portion of the schedule that I think you can get some good wins in that kind of 5 week time period right before your bye week. I think you're going to get a lot of really good experience playing some really dang good teams at the very beginning of your schedule. But when you get to that 5 week time period right before the bye week is when you're like, okay, you're established. You have some guys who have a ton of reps under their belt. You should have more of an idea of who you are as a team, what your identity is. So to be able to go out and play Carolina twice, to play Pittsburgh, these are teams in that span. To me, on paper, I believe those games to be winnable games. So how many of them can you rack up in that time period before you have a bye? That's going to be a really important portion of the season for the Falcons.
Tory McElhaney is joining us from AtlantaFalcons.com. Another transaction over the last couple of days, Bryan Edwards gets traded to the Falcons from the Raiders for a fifth-round pick. We also get a seventh-round pick back next year. Just seems like Bryan Edwards, just another guy that fits the mold of what Arthur Smith wants out on the perimeter.
Right. I mean, I think it's hilarious that, you know, we've been talking all offseason about, you know, adding big body receivers, and that's kind of what Arthur Smith wants. And then to actually see it happen and to kind of look at, I think I wrote yesterday. It's funny because after the Bryan Edwards trade, you look around and it's like, all right, if you look at this receiving weapons, you have Drake London, you have Kyle Pitts, I'd throw Auden Tate in there, even Cordarrelle Patterson is 6'2". I know he's technically a running back, but he's a receiving weapon. We've seen what he can do in the pass game. And now you have Bryan Edwards as well. All of these guys are over 6'2". Majority of them are 6'4". So because of that, I think that's so telling of the direction that Arthur Smith wants to go in. Funny, because we were talking to him yesterday and he joked, he was like, you know, I don't discriminate against receivers under six foot. Like, we still have Olamide Zaccheaus. He's one of my favorite players to coach. And it's like, yes, but you also went out and got all these tall, big guys. It's a very obvious shift in what he wants, I think, this offense to look like.
For sure. And Demir Byrd's also a smaller guy at 5'8", 5'9", as well. You know, size is great, but they always have told us speed kills. Do we have anybody that can blow the top off of a coverage and really stretch the field vertically speed-wise?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I go back to Olamide Zaccheaus, and I think he is the type of guy that you can kind of move around. He's kind of the joystick guy, and I think that they value Olamide Zaccheaus as the player. I know you don't have Calvin Ridley this year. You don't have Russell Gage anymore, but you still have Olamide Zaccheaus, who I think will be able to slot in where he needs to and kind of be the guy that has that speed and can show off that portion of kind of what you need.
You know, there's been a lot of talk, and I guess rightfully so, about Desmond Ridder. It's a quarterback. Everybody wants to know, is he the future? When will we see him? One of the things that has really impressed me so far is just hearing his sound bites. He comes off very, very mature for a guy that's yet to take a snap in the NFL. Just how far can being a mature 22-year-old take you as a rookie in this NFL? Because this is a guy that played 4 years at Cincinnati. He's married. I think he's got a kid. He's not coming in here like a very immature youngster, to say the least.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When we were talking to him yesterday, I think I said to a few people when he walked off, I was like, dang, he said everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything that came out of his mouth was like the right thing to say. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was just like, he was very confident in what he knows. He was very self-aware. He was very, he talked about the competition between him and Marcus Mariota and kind of understanding that there's a level of respect there. It was just, all in all, the however many 20 minutes that we spent with him yesterday, I was very impressed by the person who we were talking to. And I think when it comes to football, I believe that he's already kind of showing these fellow rookies that he's been with at minicamp that he's somebody that they can lean on, that he's a leader that they can count on. It was really interesting, because his dorm mates are Drake London, Tyler Allgeier, and John Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And Drake London said that Desmond Ridder is a guy that players want to be around. He's someone I want to be around. Tyler Allgeier called him a genius in the playbook. And John Fitzpatrick was like, this guy wakes up super early. He's super loud, but he's a leader, and he's out there leading in this rookie minicamp. So I know he's not surrounded by a bunch of veterans, but he's making his presence known within this rookie class and at this camp over the last 2 days.
You know, in the draft, defensively, the Falcons added three more pieces. But prior to the draft, they brought in three guys in the offseason in Rashawn Evans, Lorenzo Carter, and Casey Hayward. From your vantage point, who do you think will have the biggest impact of those three, Evans, Carter, or Hayward?
I do think they're all going to have a big role and a big impact, but I personally am really excited to see Casey Hayward.
Yeah.
I think this is a guy who, as much as I loved going out and getting Lorenzo Carter and Rashawn Evans, like I just really loved that Casey Hayward signing, because I do think that him on the opposite side of the football, or on the opposite side of the field,
than AJ, from AJ Terrell, I think is going to be a very, very interesting pairing to watch. I think that's a really good duo at that cornerback position. And if with Isaiah Oliver coming back, I think, you know, him slotting back in to the slot at nickel, I think is going to be really good for this defensive back group. So when I look at that, I love pairing Casey Hayward with AJ Terrell. And I think that's going to be really, really good for this Falcons defense.
Torrey, final one for you. I know a few weeks ago there was a lot of hoopla and hysteria over what Ryan Tannehill in Tennessee had to say about not mentoring rookie quarterback Malik Willis. I don't get the sense that those types of comments would come out of Marcus Mariota's mouth in regards to Desmond Ridder. What has that relationship been like so far from whatever you're able to tell us or whatever you've gathered between the vet and the rookie quarterback?
Well, they haven't talked yet. They haven't met yet. That was something that we were talking to Desmond Ridder about yesterday, and he said he was like, you know, the first time that we'll get to really meet and chat and talk is when OTAs start next week. And so it's still TBD. Okay. But I do believe that this is going to be a really good pairing at the quarterback position, because Desmond Ridder has said Marcus Mariota is a guy that I've looked up to for years, and he's a guy that I think I could emulate his game, and, yeah, and then I respect the heck out of him. And then from Marcus's end, Marcus is coming in with something to prove as well. I think that the competition between those two is going to be really, really fun to watch throughout OTAs, and then really when we get into training camp, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And something else is that, like, I think people don't really know Marcus Mariota yet, but I don't foresee him. Granted, I've only had a few conversations with him, but I don't think that people – that he's going to have this Ryan Tannehill look at the relationship that he would have with a guy like Desmond Ridder. I think Marcus Mariota is a really good guy who's going – not that Ryan Tannehill isn't, but I do think that Marcus Mariota is going to come in and he's going to be – kind of the pro that Desmond Ridder can look up to, because Marcus Mariota's been through a lot in his time in the league, and he has a lot of different experience, and he was dealt a really tough card a couple of times. And so I think when you look at that, there's a lot that Desmond Ridder can learn from Marcus Mariota, and I think there's a lot that Desmond Ridder can push out of Marcus Mariota. So it's going to be fun. I'm really, really looking forward to getting to talk to Marcus when he gets here for OTAs and all those kind of things. We have a lot of preseason work to go through before the season actually gets here, and that quarterback relationship is one to watch.
Torrey, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time, and we look forward to your coverage at AtlantaFalcons.com. Thanks for stopping by on a Sunday.
Absolutely. Y'all have a good one.
You got it. Torrey McElhaney, AtlantaFalcons.com, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Yeah, I'm ready for camp, man. Like, let's go. I mean, I know the Braves are going on, but it's a long season, right? I need something else. I need some football. Let's go. I'll take any camp. T-shirts, shorts, helmets, shells, 7-on-7 drills. Give me something. All right, coming up next, I'm going to give you guys more than something. I'm going to give you some winners in the NBA. We'll make our picks for Game 7s, two of them today in the association. We'll give you a winner in baseball as well. And also, before we get out of here, my favorite sitcom of all time is going to have an animated reboot. Not really sure how I'm going to take this. We'll explain next, Nikhil Show. Kale Show here on this Sunday as we come back with a little Frank Sinatra, Married with Children, and I'll explain why in just a moment. Carl Dukes, Randy McMichael coming up in just about 20 minutes. But yes, the Married with Children TV theme song being played here by Garrett Chapman, because I saw this come across 2 days ago. I was getting tweets from people sending me the link to this story in text messages, because my favorite TV sitcom of all time is Married with Children. I am an Al Bundy fan for, God, this has got to be at least 25 years. Like I caught on to that show towards the tail end of its run when I was like 14 years old. And then growing up beyond that, just watched all the reruns, got all the seasons on DVD. Anytime it's on a variety of channels now, they always have like a Tuesday night marathon on one of these random channels that I don't think anybody in America watches on their cable package. But there is a report out that a Married with Children animated reboot is reportedly in the works, with the original sitcom stars set to return. So I'm trying to make sense of all of this. I'm thinking, okay, animation and the original characters are going to come back to be the voices of the animated versions of themselves. And I got to tell you, I'm not a huge animated guy. Like, I thought the Simpsons were, you know, Simpsons are good. It's withstood the test of time, still going. You know, like South Park and Family Guy were things that I'd watch in bits and pieces. But I'm not a huge animation type guy. But Married with Children animated reboot has got me thinking that this could be either really, really, really good or epically bad. Like, I don't think there will be anywhere in between. Married with Children ran from 1987 until 1997. 11 seasons they went. And if you think about it, if you are my age, I'm 38 and a half, about to be 39, or older, when the television network Fox launched, it was really in part for three reasons. One, The Simpsons. Two, Married with Children. And the success of those shows led to the NFL on Fox being a legit thing. It was a startup network trying to compete with CBS, NBC, ABC, and whatever else might have been out there at that time. And Married with Children was really in an era of wholesome family sitcoms from the 70s, the 80s, and then into the 90s as well. But in 1987, you create Married with Children, and it's the complete opposite of the harmonious, picture-perfect family environment. It was the complete opposite. It was a dad who sold shoes, hated his deadbeat wife, hated his two kids. He had a dumb daughter and a boy that could never get a date to save his life. And then the mom was not a great mom to the kids, and she didn't like Al and the whole thing. So if you grew up watching that show or even watched the reruns after it was out of its peak run, you know how great of a show that was. And it was at a day and age where, like, they kind of spit in the face of political correctness. They went against the grain. And to be honest, there's a lot of garbage television these days, but I don't know that in this day and age, Married with Children would get past the pilot episode. Like, it would be canceled because it was borderline offensive to so many people. I mean, Al was insulting fat women every day at the shoe store. I don't know that you could do that today on television. Even though it's TV and it's fake, people get offended by anything. People get offended that the sun rises in the morning. I don't know what to do. What are you going to do? The sunrise, I can't help you there. But this show, I think, could be good if, in fact, the original cast members are able to pull off the whole voiceover thing with the animated aspect. I'd like to see the reboot and just do it, like, called Married with Grandchildren or something like that. But that obviously doesn't seem like a possibility, but, that was a huge show in my life. So when I see this news, I am beyond excited. You know, some people were Seinfeld people. Some people were Simpsons people, Cheers, you know, obviously a big show back in that era. A handful of other shows I'm probably omitting, but Married with Children to me was my go-to, and that's got to be on the short list, is, you know, think about how many sitcoms have ran a decade. I think it was, did Friends go for a decade? I don't recall if it did. It was not my not my style of show. My wife was a big fan of Friends when she was in high school. I guess 90210 had a big run. That wasn't really a family sitcom, though. You know, The Cosby Show, all-time great, you know. But Married with Children, for me, one of the go-tos for sure. All right, Garrett, let me ask you this. You a family, I know you're younger than me, family sitcoms, any type of shows that are your go-to in that genre?
I hit the wrong button. No, sitcoms, I kind of go like How I Met Your Mother. I hit the wrong button. I've done that a time or two. But no, I've gone back and forth with some sitcoms, but most of them, it's like How I Met Your Mother was more my speed.
Okay.
You know, I love How I Met Your Mother. That was one of my favorites. I've watched that through probably more times than I did.
Big Bang Theory?
I've seen episodes of The Big Bang Theory. It ran for a long time. I think mm-hmm. that was the longest running sitcom, right? For at least I think so. I think it's the most episodes.
Okay.
Isn't it? I don't know. But
not sure.
I mean, it's funny. It wasn't really my speed necessarily, but no, How I Met Your Mother was my favorite, but not really a big sitcom guy, just
in general. And
how old
are you?
27.
27.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'll watch one. Friends, I've seen more Friends episodes than I care to admit.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of Friends. That's sacrilege to some people, but I think it's easily the most overrated show on television.
Wow.
So, I mean, okay. But overrated
I'm not
doesn't
a fan,
mean bad.
So you're not a fan.
See, overrated, also there's a connotation with the word overrated. Everyone thinks that overrated means bad. Overrated
right.
doesn't mean bad.
No, it's
it just means it's not as good as people set
right.
it up to be. It's not
exactly.
as good as The Office.
Yeah.
The Office is elite. Friends
yes.
isn't in that category.
Okay. Yeah, now The Office is
The Office is as good as
yeah.
it gets.
Yeah,
that's as, that is peak television.
Yes, no doubt about it. All right, good stuff there. All right, let's get to our picks today. Our Sunday selections try to make you a couple of dollars. If you like to wager on your sports, we got a couple of Game 7s in the NBA playoffs. And we'll start with the Eastern Conference today at 3:30. Oh, yes. It's the NBA on NBC. I wish it was still a thing, but it's on ABC. And Mike Breen, Mark Jackson, Jeff Van Gundy, they're pretty damn good. I like the way they play off of each other. But you know who's the better trio? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. The Boston Celtics, a 5-point home favorite over the Milwaukee Bucks. And here's the thing that I love. According to Caesars Palace Sportsbook, they have 68% of their action is coming in on the Milwaukee Bucks and the 5 points. 2/3 of the betting public riding Giannis and the points. Milwaukee +5. That makes me like Boston even more. I'm going to lay the 5 with the Celtics. I think Milwaukee had their chance at home up 3-2 to put Boston out. They didn't do it. I think the TD Garden, whatever they call that venue nowadays, will be lit. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, they go for 90 combined points. Give me the Celtics -5, pick number 1 in the NBA playoffs today. Suns and the Mavericks, Game 7, Western Conference Finals today. What do we got? Garrett. Is Garrett Chapman there?
Hey, sorry, I've been going back and forth with our next show.
You can fade the music down because I'm hearing a YouTube commercial on the air.
Yep, so, yeah. That's it. My bad.
We don't want to give anybody free advertising. but anyway, Western Conference semifinals, game 2 of our game 7s today. Phoenix and Dallas. Phoenix is a 6.5-point favorite. According to Caesar Sportsbook, the action basically split down the middle. 52% are backing the Suns, 48% backing Luka and the Mavericks. Phoenix, a 6.5-point home favorite. I'm going to ride with Phoenix today, and I actually think this one could be a blowout. With all due respect to Mr. Luka, I'm going to take Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, too much Suns today, too much up and down, great shooting, great spacing and pacing. I'll lay the 6.5 with the Suns. I think Phoenix wins by double digits today. So give me the Celtics -5. I think that'll be a competitive game, but Boston will prevail and cover, win that game by 6 or 7. The Suns -6.5. I think the Suns roll the Mavericks by double digits today. So those are your two NBA games. From a Braves standpoint, the Braves Padres coming up in just about 45 minutes. First pitch at 11:35 on Peacock today. Kyle Wright against Joe Musgrove of the Padres. Really good pitching matchup. I kind of like the under today, under 8.5 runs. I think we see a low-scoring game. I'll go under 8.5 total runs in the Braves and the Padres. And then finally, if you are a golf fan, a big-time event this week on the PGA Tour in Texas, and your leaderboard is stacked. You've got Jordan Spieth one shot off of the lead behind Sebastian Munoz. Justin Thomas is just 3 shots back of the lead. So you've got some big-time guys trying to get a win today on the PGA Tour before the PGA Tour's second major next week, which is the PGA Championship. And here's a really sneaky good storyline. If you're a fringe golf fan and you only get drawn in by the big names, Jordan Spieth enters today at 20 under par. He's one shot off the lead. He's in the final pairing. His last start was a month ago at Hilton Head when he won the RBC Heritage. He could actually go back-to-back starts with back-to-back wins. And oh, by the way, next week the PGA Championship is the lone major that Jordan Spieth has yet to win to cap off the career Grand Slam. He's already got a Masters, he's already got a U.S. Open, and he's already got a British Open. He would have 2 straight wins in back-to-back starts heading into the final leg of the career Grand Slam next week, which is in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Big storyline if you're a Jordan Spieth guy, and I think most people that like golf like Jordan Spieth. All right, so that'll do it for us here on a Sunday. Appreciate the calls and the tweets as well as the texts. Our thanks to Tory McElhaney, AtlantaFalcons.com. Great job out of Garrett Chapman, the producer of today's show. Stay tuned to Randy McMichael, Carl Dukes are coming up next. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Braves breakfast, brunch, baseball, whatever you want to call it. A couple of game sevens in the association. And we'll talk to you next week here on Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.